Good morning, afternoon, and good evening, lesbians and other less important listeners. That's the second time I've said this joke tonight. Welcome to the Quarren Tigers podcast. I'm your host for this episode, Ty Roberts. With me today is Craig Laporte.
Hello, folks.
And also with me today, Dan Hurt.
Hey, that joke still crushed. Still crushed. Nice.
I didn't feel like it landed quite as hard as it did the first time, but what are you going to do?
I just want to take a minute and give both of you guys huge ups for the 25 minutes of podcast we just didn't record, because it was really strong.
Today's episode is about my personal pick for funniest man of all time, the FOAT, Norm Macdonald. Who unfortunately died on us on September 14th, 2021.
You know what? As a concept, I thought it would be interesting for this to be the first episode where we didn't have an RIP in the episode.
Dan, I already did that. This will be the second episode where we talk about not having an RIP in the episode.
All right. We talked about this guy for last 20 minutes and didn't record any of it. So a lot of these are going to be inside baseball jokes that none of you understand.
RIP that episode.
Yeah. All right, folks. So, Norm Macdonald.
Norm's dead. Yada, yada.
Norm's dead.
SNL. Yeah. Yada, yada.
Well, okay. I know this is uncomfortable for us, but in all due reverence.
No.
Ty, start us off with some sweet words about a very good man.
This is a bittersweet episode for us. I had Norm Macdonald as my back pocket mega pick for an episode of my choosing down the road. I saved him for a time where we were all together in Ontario for the first time in years to sort of burn that pick and present it to everybody. And then, you know, life got in the way and we delayed recordings a couple of times. And the next thing you know, Norm passes away on September 14th, 2021. This episode would not exist if we did not have it on record that we wanted to do it prior to him passing away. We're genuine fans of the guy, and we were not in good shape to even do this episode for the week prior after he passed away as well. So, yeah, we're all having a rough time, but we gathered ourselves together here, and we gathered our wits, and we gathered, we reoriented the episode to sort of try to give you the insider's been a Norm fan for a very, very long time look at Norm. We're not going to cover everything, but we feel we've got some things to say about the man from fans of his. And I've loved the guy since the late 90s. And this is a comedian the three of us have talked about and shared clips of with each other for years and years and years. And for as long as we've had a sort of three-way communication with each other. So Norm Macdonald, a comedian's comedian. We're going to miss him, and this certainly won't be the last time we ever talk. Look, I have a 9-year-old kid. One of the hardest things for me about this, and this is not a joke, I've seen him twice live. I genuinely, several times in the last 9 years, have thought, I can't wait to take my boy to see Norm Macdonald do stand-up.
Wow.
And that's never going to happen. And so this is a genuinely brutal one. You know, I cannot recall being anywhere near as upset about a celebrity passing away because, you know, he's embedded in a lot of the stuff we say to each other. For anyone who's been a Norm fan, and I read the comments on a lot of these Norm videos, a shout out to the I'm Not Norm YouTube channel. That guy is also, the way he puts those clips together with Norm, he knows what he's doing. He understands the jokes. And the comments people put in there referencing obscure things he said 25 years ago, and everyone understands the joke. There's a lot of Norm fans out there that are just like me who are just devastated that this man passed away. He had decades of good stuff left in him too, and it's just a shame. But we're going to celebrate the guy as best we can. And try and shed some light on what he meant to us. And that is going to be the episode. We're going to keep it as light as we possibly can.
I think that ship has sailed.
No, it's not. It has not sailed.
I'm just kidding.
When was he on the radar for you folks?
I think the first time I really knew about him would have been SNL. You know what? It's funny because in a previous conversation, Ty, you had asked me what sort of Norm content I've been viewing recently. And I had said, I had said I watched one of his specials, which we'll probably talk about later in some way. But although he had some shows, I don't know that he would claim to be a great actor either. Like, he was pretty good for what he did. But the thing that I think resonated biggest with me early on was his Burt Reynolds from Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL. Like, the earliest memories, at least that I can think of, that had Norm in them were him being a jackass with Daryl Hannah on SNL as Burt Reynolds. And he had that stupid big hat and everything. It's big. It's funny because it's a big hat. It's bigger than a regular
I only
hat.
Recently found out that he wrote that sketch.
Oh, yeah? Yes. I believe that.
Yeah. Now, he says that he kind of modeled it after an SCTV sketch of a game show. And then they had...
I've seen that.
Yeah, he waited until, I think it was Martin Short was on SNL, to sort of broach the topic of doing it on SNL and the way he had thought about it. And then they both called Eugene Levy. Or no, Norm called Eugene Levy. He made a point of saying he didn't call with Martin Short. He wanted to be a man and call Eugene Levy one-on-one and ask permission to use it. And Eugene Levy gave him his blessing. And so that's how that sketch got rolling. Like, so not only is he, you know, Turd Ferguson, AKA Burt Reynolds in that sketch, he wrote at least the very first iteration of it. I think after he left the show, they kept it going, but yeah. Perfect. A lot of people remember.
And that's an interesting anecdote because he really does seem like a very, a highly principled individual.
Oh yeah.
You know, absolutely. Like he seems like, and I know what we may talk about his religiousness at some point, but he was a religious dude, which seemed to be one of those, I'm not trying to steal all the shit you guys said earlier, but I mean, I'll steal a couple things.
Go ahead.
no, but like he danced at the beat of his own drum. Like he didn't give a shit about anything else. And he lived by his own code. And that was that. Yeah. But he was, I think, a very funny man, not a terrific actor, but I don't think he'd take any issue with that.
You know what I find funny about that, about the acting comment? Hmm. I agree with you that he intent, but I think so his early acting work was in sitcoms and that movie that he did, which was a comedy.
Never seen it.
He's been in things where he actually did a good job.
Yeah.
Which kind of shocked me because a lot of them are obscure. Like he was in a movie, a terrible movie that starred Chris Kattan called Hollywood and Wine. And he plays this investigator that shows up and he's got a freaking trench coat on and he kills it. Like legit, you can't take your eyes off him. He's the most interesting thing in that movie by a mile. And then he gets off screen and you forget what's happened. He started his career and he would say, and he has said many times, that he considers himself a stand-up comedian first. And I wanted to play you guys, just to show you where we came from, a clip of Norm prior to, I think, any of us hearing him. Just a clip from some of his very, very early stand-up.
You ever see that game show, The Dating Game? That's the oddest game show I ever saw that show, you know? They got no prize in the show. They just give you like... another contestant, that's your prize. Just pair you off. No budget at all on a show, you know? And they always do the same thing on the show. They get a beautiful girl, match her up with three giant geeks there, you know? Last week they had a guy on. I was like a crazy guy, loony bin, kind of a psycho wing nut, you know? You can tell by how they introduce him. Bachelor number two is a shadowy lurking character. From no fixed address, please welcome. He's just a guy. Menacing figure shambles into the studio there, you know. And they make the girls, you know, ask those questions. Eh? They always be about sex, you know. Always thinly disguised sex, you know. Never direct, you know, insertion or anything, but it's always something about, you know. Like the girl go, Bachelor number two, if I were a popsicle, what would you do to me? What would you do to me if I were a popsicle? That's what it says in the card here. So guys, oh, if you're a popsicle, huh? Well, first of all, I guess I'd take your wrapper off. If you know what I mean. Then I'd grab a hold of your sticks. If you know what I mean. Then I'd press you against the counter to your broken tooth.
He had a whole different cadence, eh? And that voice said... changed over the years. Like it kind of shocked me looking back at his older stuff to see how much like he kind of is the everyone's Norm impression is of that version of Norm that we just heard. And every one of these guys is a Norm impression, and they all do the same thing. Hey, we get here. So it's all that.
Have you in the freezer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Craig, when do you recall first getting in touch with Norm?
Listen, Germans love David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
That can't be argued.
Yeah, that's enough.
That yeah. was an absolute fucking home run to me. I couldn't hear it enough. It could be in every skit every week, and I would still love that Germans love David Hasselhoff.
He had a handful of those that he used
so good.
Over. And that
Demi Moore's boobs was the other one.
No, yeah, there's another one that I'm sure when you hear it, you will you'll remember it, but I'm going to save it for later. We talked about privately that this is kind of his joke where anyone who was watching that episode for the first time and heard, "This confirms my theory, Germans love David Hasselhoff," as the punchline to every story about David Hasselhoff and being popular in Germany. The joke stopped being that punchline halfway through the first time you said it. And every subsequent time, in every subsequent episode, the joke is, "Hey, look what I'm doing at on SNL."
Yeah, can you believe I had a
week to write this, and look what I did. I did the same joke. He So I've got now that we're and I mean SNL is when we first were introduced to Norm, it sounds like, on Weekend Update. Mm-hmm. There's I clipped some of my favorite Weekend Update ones, but this is a joke that he did this joke several different times with several different people, but this is the version of it that he continuously cites as the perfect joke. In the world of Norm Macdonald and his writing partner Jim Downey at SNL, who the two of them thought that the perfect joke would be if the punchline was the same as the premise of the joke. And here is that joke.
Julia Roberts told reporters this week that her marriage to Lyle Lovett has been over for some time. The key moment, she said, came when she realized that she was Julia Roberts and that she was married to Lyle Lovett.
He did that with several celebrity divorces. Just recycled the joke. Wherever. He did it with... did he do it with Christie Brinkley and Billy Joel?
Oh, yes. That would make
sense. Yeah, he definitely did it with the two of them. Another classic Norm Macdonald structured joke from Weekend Update.
The richest girl in the world, billionaire Athena Onassis, celebrated her 10th birthday this week. What's it like to be the richest girl in the world? Well, to give you some idea, at the party, they had two cakes.
And don't you love that pause in the audience, like, oh, oh, I get it. Yeah, yeah. There was so much dead air on Weekend Update, and yes. He loved bombing just as much as he loved delivering. And that's been said a lot in the last 2 weeks by people that knew him. Because
my favorite part about
just
that
as funny
delivery,
to him.
Yeah, my favorite part about that delivery is he's gonna wait it out. You're not gonna win. You are not going to win. It's the main reason that I love, and I don't want to jump because I know you guys want to talk about a lot of stuff. I don't want to jump to the Saget roast, but
we've got it. Yeah.
Main genius of that thing is he was never going to surrender.
Yeah.
He was going to deliver it, and he was going to stare stone-faced until the bitter end, and he fucking nails it. It's incredible.
Well, I did take that a couple from there, so we will definitely elaborate on that. Norm infamously was fired from Weekend Update because Don Olmeyer, a friend of O.J. Simpson, was faxing Studio 8H over and over and over and over again, insisting they stop telling O.J. jokes on Weekend Update, which made Norm throw in an extra O.J. joke on Weekend Update.
At the height of the O.J. trial... Don't talk about OJ, and any artist worth their, you know, scratch is going to say, fuck you. And God bless Norm for, you know, not being like, well, my job's in danger.
Yep.
No, he did the right thing, and he did it better And it was so, it was perfect.
A finer detail I found out about this only since he passed away was, so after OJ was acquitted, another Ohlmeyer fax came in and said, that's it. It's over. He's innocent. I do not want to hear another OJ joke. And that was when he opened the broadcast with, it's official. Murder is legal in the state of California. So that was the final nail in his coffin. I've been told.
Jesus.
I got an OJ joke because I feel it wouldn't be right to have any clips of Weekend Update without an OJ joke in there. So here's one of my favorites.
In a brilliant move during closing arguments, Simpson attorney Johnny Cochran put on the knit cap prosecutors say OJ wore the night he committed the murders. Although OJ may have hurt his case when he suddenly blurted out, hey, hey, easy with that. That's my lucky stabbing hat.
So stupid.
My favorite one, and I like it so much. Sorry, you have another one?
Go ahead. I have one more. Maybe this is it.
I'll do it. I hope it is.
This is probably my top one.
Who are safer drivers, men or women? Well, according to a new survey, 55% of adults feel that women are most responsible for minor fender benders, while 78% blame men for most fatal crashes. Please note that the percentages in these pie graphs do not add up to 100% because the math was done by a woman. For those of you hissing at that joke, it should be noted that that joke was written by a woman. So now you don't know what the hell to do, do you? No, I'm just kidding. We don't hire women.
Hall of Fame. That's a Hall of Fame joke right there. He strung him along the whole way. Strung him along the whole way.
Yeah, zero interest. He knew it would bomb. He knew it would start with a bomb, and then that would be how it played out.
And if you can't, the thing that you're missing in the audio medium is the smirk on that man's face when he says, now you don't know what the hell to do, do you?
Yeah, exactly. You can almost hear that smirk, though.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Was that the one that you were referencing?
I was referencing a specific OJ joke, because I thought you said you had two OJ jokes.
Oh, sorry. No, go ahead.
The other one, I'll destroy it, but I'll try it anyway, was when I showed it in the chat when he says, O.J. Simpson says in his new book that, you know, he would have stepped in front of a train or taken a bullet for Nicole. He's like, man, what terrible luck when the only man in the world who would die for you kills you.
No, you did good. You gave that the last Norm. He has a very specific just end of sentence punchline where it's just a deadpan delivery. And it's
that
like
hesitation and then just nail it. Yeah.
Another one I'm just thinking of now was something like Kenny G has got a new Christmas album coming to shelves this holiday. Happy birthday, Jesus! Hope you like crap.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
He also was in a lot of skits that I liked that he wrote. One of the good ones was Cobras versus Panthers. Did I send you guys that the last?
Few months? Yeah, like the West Side Story one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he put Chris Kattan in there, which he loved to do. And it's just a great skit for anyone to look up. We're not going to play an entire skit in audio form because it's not going to do it justice. But Cobras versus Panthers is an SNL skit that he's in. That's a great one. Something else I have from him from SNL is after he was fired, this is one of the earliest cancel culture attempted cancellations. But Letterman, I think, kept this guy afloat by continuously having him on Letterman and kept him in the loop. And he had a movie that was due to come out too, which helped. And then he was given a sitcom by ABC. When he was, Ohlmeyer, I think, was out, I think it was 8 months later, Norm was asked to come back
and host
the show, delivered a surprise monologue that he did not use at dress. Which I happen to have is one of the greatest things that must have happened on live TV. And you can hear when you hear people not taking it well in the background, I found out later that these were SNL writers that you're going to be hearing.
When the people here asked me to do the show, you know, I gotta say, I felt kind of weird, you know. I don't know if you remember this, but I used to actually be on this show, you know. I used to do the weekend update news routine. You remember that? And
yeah. You remember that?
That's where I did the make-believe news jokes, you know. That was me, right? So then, a year and a half ago, right, I had a sort of a disagreement with the management at the NBC. I wanted to keep my job, right? And they felt the exact opposite. So you see, they they fired me because they said that I wasn't funny, you know? Now with most jobs, I could have had a hell of a lawsuit on my hands for that, but see, this is a comedy show. So they got me, you know what? You know what? But now, this is the weird part, right? It's only a year and a half later, and now they asked me to host the show. So I wondered, I go, hey, wait a second here. Hey! I go, how did I go in a year and a half from being not funny enough to be even allowed in the building to being so funny that I'm now hosting the show? How did I suddenly get so damn funny? It was inexplicable to me because a year and a half, let's face it, is not enough time for a dude to learn how to be funny. And it occurred to me, I haven't gotten funnier. The show has gotten really bad. So, yeah, I'm funny compared to, you know, well, you'll see later. But okay, so let's recap.
Let's recap.
The bad news is I'm still not funny. The good news is the show blows. All right, folks, we got a bad show for you tonight. Dr.
What blows me away about that is you hear some of these guys talk about Lorne Michaels. Like, even like, not Sandler, but like the guys at that level talk about Lorne like he's like, oh my God, they all kind of like scared him. Like he's their dad, or they're all scared of him. This guy did that as a blindside right to his face. Amazing. Balls. He said that his original plan that he was talked out of was to just do the monologue and then leave. And just let them go do whatever the hell they were going to do.
Oh, so that was blackballed from so many places.
That would have cooked it. Yeah. Holy
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. That would have been something else. But he was talked out of it. Unfortunately, that would have been something else.
Amazing.
But yeah, he wasn't in a lot of skits, but obviously The Weekend Update is a coveted position. He did a great job. And a lot of guys, I think Chevy Chase said that he thought he was the best one. And
Chevy Chase had said, I had the exact quote copied in my notes. He said, Norm was the only other guy who did it funny. And
yeah.
I was thinking, oh, is Chevy the other one? I don't know.
Chevy, I would say probably, yeah.
I liked Kevin Nealon. I liked him.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of Kevin. I didn't mind Dennis Miller. But
he's,
you know,
before my time, I feel.
Yeah, and... well, we won't go too much into more recent history than those guys. He got the Norm Show after that and the movie Dirty Work. And the Norm Show was went for three seasons. And I was really into Norm at that point. I loved that show. It was appointment TV for me. And I think it ran to 2000. That was a great one. And it had Faith Ford in it. And Jackie from Roseanne, what's her name?
Okay. I think just Jackie from Roseanne, I think
Jackie
is what she's
from
named.
Roseanne.
Yeah.
So
well, so is it Jackie from the Connors now? Are we not even allowed to say the word Roseanne? I don't know how this works.
Yeah. He did a great job on the Norm Show. I have it on DVD. In fact, I brought it with me when I saw him live one of the two times I saw him. I brought it with me and I put it on the thing and I thought, maybe if he walks by, he'll sign that for me.
But did he walk by?
Kicked it off the stage.
He brought out a comedian to open for him who I'm convinced he brought with him to bomb intentionally. Like, this guy was terrible. And then he walked up and killed. I don't know if I've told you guys this story or not, but I was sitting there with a group I work with and a buddy of mine who I work with. And he was a Norm fan too, legit Norm fan. His name's Scott. Two of us were sitting there and I told him I was bringing my Norm Show DVDs and then he brought his Norm Show DVDs and we had them both on our tables with our drinks and stuff. So I'm sitting there and we've got these two box set DVDs on our desk. I'm sitting there watching this guy bomb and thank God I didn't say anything. I'm just kind of like losing interest. I glance over to my right and I'm not, shit you not, 6 feet from me on a stool that wasn't there 10 minutes ago. Norm MacDonald is sitting right next to me in the dark. He's not at a table. He's in the corner. So our table's against the wall. And he's right next to me watching this guy and just being quiet and trying to kind of observe him. So I jerked my head forward like immediately. I was like, oh, shit. My heart started pounding. And now I'm the guy. I'm sitting in front of Norm with my buddy. And two of us got our DVDs displayed on the table. And he's sitting right next to us.
And you immediately felt like a six-year-old.
I felt like a child. Yeah, like a loser. So my friend, so like immediately that second, I immediately said, I'm not asking him to do shit. Like if I get a word in with him, I'm going to be very happy. Like I couldn't believe how nervous I instantly got.
Yeah.
But then I watch my friend. He suddenly realizes that Norm's sitting there and he had total opposite reaction. His reaction was going to be like, oh, let's ask him to sign it right now. And he's clearly trying to watch his buddy do stand up. And I'm like, no. I'm like, like, don't talk to him. Just don't pretend you don't see him. Pretend you don't see him. And so the two of us are like talking under our breath at each other. And Norm is 6 feet away. So he gets up and he's kind of near right on our table now. And my buddy Scott says, hey, would you mind? And he goes, yeah, after the show. No problem. And we're like, okay. So he goes up and he kills. He was up there for maybe an hour and a half, and then he comes back down the way he came up, right next to us. And my buddy's like so jazzed to get a signature from him. I'm just like, listen, if he comes by here again, just relax. Like if he signs it, he signs it. Let's not be the guys that like are acting like
groupies.
Groupies. Thank you for Norm MacDonald. And he's like, yeah, you're right. So he came back and I said to him something like, Norm's looking right at me. And I say to him, I was like, great job. That's what I came up with. And he said, he looked at me and he goes, thanks, buddy. So he called me buddy. So that's the moment I'll have uncle forever. Yeah. That's as good as gold to me.
How was the rest of your personal friendship with Norm MacDonald?
No, nothing but roses. I saw him a second time with it was just my wife and I, and again he just destroyed. He was workshopping stuff that we later saw in the Hitler's Dog special that he did. Like a lot of that stuff I had heard him do live in a different form. Like it was like so he was clearly like using these shows to workshop what like his actual recorded set would be. And so he did stuff I'd never heard him say before or since, and he did stuff that showed up in a refined way on the specials later. So
Norm MacDonald's stand-ups have always been really interesting to me in that they've never kind of, I feel like, gotten the widespread, it's Norm in a nutshell, they've never gotten the widespread recognition. And for him to be as famous and well-liked and well-regarded as he is across the board, we touched about this in a previous Norm MacDonald dark cast that wasn't recorded. For him to not have, you mentioned Hitler's Dog. He's got a few more. I think he's got about 3-hour-plus specials.
Yeah, I think he's got three, and one of them is very, very early.
20 years.
Yeah.
To still be that well-regarded as a stand-up and not... Yeah. Ever have that breakthrough. The example I gave before was Eddie Murphy Delirious, mm-hmm. Which is kind of the creme de la creme for me, or Chris Rock, Never Scared. There's even I hold Rogan's, what was it called? I don't know, the one with the guy.
Strange Times?
I don't remember the name. The one before that.
Normal Times?
Yes. Almost Strange Times. No, but there's a bunch of really good stand-ups that if I asked almost anybody who's not Ty Roberts, give me your top five stand-ups, and I know them to be stand-up fans, I can bet that none of them are going to give me the name of a Norm Macdonald stand-up special. But everyone knows Norm Macdonald jokes because his output was so varied from what is the traditional successful path. Like I mentioned earlier with the Adam Sandler, you know, or Chris Farley, or the typical SNL path, he did not follow that. He went back to stand-up. He did some TV that didn't take off, but he never hit that home run, but he hit 8,000 triples. You know what I mean? Like, it just,
especially later on, like, I think his stand-up got a lot less, like, when he, in his early days, he had a joke about a homeless man with a dog. Toward the end of it, it's like, you know, the homeless man, the dogs must be saying, you know, hey, I can do this myself, buddy. I don't need a leash, you know, like, you know, I could be homeless without your help. So, I mean, it was just kind of like a one-off kind of jokey joke that he did that was funny. But in his later stand-up, like when I'm thinking of his stand-up now, like I think of like a 15-minute story about how he would kill a woman if he had to kill her, and how this ridiculous idea about luring a woman into a van with a cheese sandwich because he saw her in a cheese sandwich shop a week before, and how he'd bury her 25 feet into the ground instead of a shallow grave. It's not really like something that lends itself into being like a clippable 10-second Instagram thing, where a lot of stand-up, just by the comedians' like structure, how they structure jokes and how they like their style, you can chop it up easy and it can spread around, right? But I can't send a person I barely know a 20-minute story about how to kill a girl without, you know, and expect them to watch it front to back. you know?
There was a comedic term that I discovered when reading about Norm. And the term is spin a yarn. And it means tell a super extended story a la the moth joke, but take something that isn't, that could be just delivery punchline, and build on it and make it so much more layered, and make it so much more it than it is if you just take that one thing and write it down. And Norm got so far away from those, and it was genius. I loved it, but I guess that was kind of the detriment of that approach, is you're not going to be the guy who's on YouTube. At the same time, he did end up that guy through being the greatest fucking late night guest in the history. Yeah. Since Don Rickles, I'll say. I don't want to disrespect Don Rickles. Don Rickles was his generation's Norm Macdonald, where if Don Rickles was going on a show, you were going to watch it.
Yeah. And, you know, what I think is interesting is he's definitely capable of writing. He could have, if he wanted to, do a one-hour show of Weekend Update style jokes. Mm-hmm. And that would have been a killer show for sure. Like, if he actually planned that out and did it like he does his other ones, he could release a special like that. And I'm sure there'd be enough crazy 10, 15 second jokes in there that would have killed, but it just wasn't interested in that. And one thing you'll hear over and over and over again from his friends, if he wasn't interested in doing something, he didn't do it. It didn't matter if they offered him money. It didn't matter. You know, if he didn't care, he didn't want to do it. The Norm Show also had a lot of deadpan delivery punchlines in it that, again, you didn't really see in stand-up too often from him, but he was certainly capable of it. I have a clip of that I just wanted to, because I just wanted to clip something from the Norm Show. I find that this will sum up the feeling of the show for you fine, and what you're expecting out of an episode of the Norm Show here. I'm going to set this clip up a little bit. Norm is pursuing his girlfriend on and off again, girlfriend Shelley, on a Halloween episode by dressing like a fireman. And here's what happened.
Brett, you look so handsome and brave. I never saw you like this before. You know what? I'm starting to feel some of those old feelings again. And you are the only one here in a fireman's outfit.
Excuse me, everyone, excuse me. Can I have your attention? NYFD has to come through.
Sorry, Norm. You know, I'm feeling a little lightheaded. Do you think you could help me out of here?
Do you need me to carry you?
Okay.
Hey, Shelley, don't forget that old saying about firemen.
Don't be such a huge whore.
You know, listening to these clips over the last little while, that was quintessential late teenage years Thai humor. I just, that got me every single time he did it. Just, there was another one that was so stupid was he had this wiener dog in the show and he called it wiener dog. And the gag that was through the seasons was this dog was like hyper intelligent, but he always treated it like it was a dog. And he had guests over and he goes, hey, wiener dog, go get some chips. And the dog leaves in the kitchen, comes out with poker chips in a little rack. And he goes, I stupid dog. Potato chips. Yeah. And everyone in the room's amazed, but he's just kind of like indifferent. The dog leaves the room and comes back with nacho chips. And he said, I said potato, not corn. And they're like, Norm, that's amazing. He's like, he knows what he's doing. Like the dog's antagonizing. Oh my God. That show, for anyone who's interested, if you search the Norm Show, it's available on YouTube in pretty good quality. People have uploaded it and you can just watch the whole series and it's hilarious. I love that show. And it's just the Artie Lang joins the show later on and those two together were always funny. So it's a great late 90s representation of those types of Norm jokes.
You know, one of the things that, and we were talking about this, Craig, you mentioned spinning a yarn. I think one of the things that I've kind of enjoyed as I've gotten older is understanding how things are put together. And I always enjoy hearing people talk about the craft that they do, whether it's radio people talking about radio, comedy people talking about comedy. But like the way he spins a yarn is so fascinating. And I've heard, you know, comedians talk about certain things and it seems like there's some jokes there's a specificity, like the level of details that they give are humorous in and of themselves. And like the old time characters that he brings into the stories, into the yarns, like the Harold Delaney's of the world and the cheese sandwich, like he gives these just weird specific details. And every time he does, they kind of like, they surprise you a little bit. And they're funny because they're so weird and specific. If it's Scrabble and somebody's cheating at Scrabble in a complete throwaway frickin' joke, like you're still happy to be along for the ride. And I think that's one of the things that he really did. I think that was in The Dark Cast, the dragging out a 20-second joke across 8 minutes of primetime network television. But everybody that was there was along for the ride and they were happy to be there. You know,
when these Norm clips started showing up, like in the early days of YouTube, okay, and I was starting to find them, it didn't even occur to me that until I heard a few of them, because he told one that was a story, and I think you're referencing it. And some of the stuff I saw when it happened as well, especially Letterman stuff. He tells a long story about going to a bed and breakfast in Vancouver.
Yeah,
and playing Scrabble with Harold Delaney. Yeah. And it didn't even occur to me when I was young that it was a made up story. Yeah. Because it was so bizarre and so like, and he was so bizarre. I could see him just doing that. And and then later on, as you pile on the clips and just get deeper and deeper, it becomes the joke because the shtick. That everything really happened. He can't tell a story without it being, without pretending it's true.
Yeah.
Because then it kind of ruins it for him, right?
Part of Norm's thing with that, and I forget, I think it might have been Conan talking about this on his tribute podcast afterward, was that Norm would come in, and on all of these late night shows, you have to do your pre-interview where you talk to somebody, and then they tell the host, hey, ask him about these things. And Norm would come into these shows, even Letterman, he did it. He'd do it on Conan. And when they make him sit for a pre-interview, he would just fucking make shit up. he would just completely fabricate everything. He'd fabricate everything. And then it would get to, like, he told Letterman's pre-interview people a story about his cat. And then Letterman's like, so you got a cat? He's like, no, I don't have a cat. And Letterman's like...
Yeah, you see that a lot. It's like they're just thrown off. They're like, what's going on? And suddenly Norm's in the driver's seat of the interview.
Yes, and they realized, and all of those shows that Norm was accepted and a regular on just stopped asking him to do pre-interviews because of it, because they realized that was part of his bit, which I thought
the best
was
one I saw
genius.
Like that was Kimmel. Kimmel seemed the most utterly unprepared to deal with a change in direction. And Kimmel was like, he had this worried look in his eyes. Like, he kept saying, well, how about, and then Norm would just totally change the subject, like completely off the rails. And
so good.
Jimmy, more than any other host, was kept trying to bring it back into track. And it just egged Norm on to take it more and more off the rails. And it was hysterical. Another example of Norm doing his own thing was his comedy album, Ridiculous, which I know you guys have heard bits from. I didn't clip this because part of Norm's hilarious, I'm going to do this the way I want. These comedy albums were, at least for me when I was young, I think were a quite popular thing. Adam Sandler popularized them, and I think for our group. And they all had sort of the same structure to them. They were like little skits, and some of them were like, you know, 5 minutes long, 2 minutes long, 8 minutes long. So Norm does his comedy album, and half the time of the album is the first skit. And it's this ridiculous premise where him and Artie Lang are record producers, and they bring in this guy, Tex Hooper.
Tex Hooper.
Who's been missing for it's this crazy story he's been missing for 20 years.
Womanizing Tex Hooper, former country music superstar.
It's just them in the booth getting him to record songs, and they slowly throughout the course of a half an hour of this album discover that Tex Hooper has been leading a secret gay life, and all his new songs are about this life, and enormous characters sunk hundreds of millions of dollars into bringing this guy back, and he's really worried that the country music audience is not going to take well to this new direction. And this is half the album, is this one skit.
Slack jawed, come drunk, Texas on a Saturday night. did he say come drunk?
I remember the first time I heard that album, I was for 10 minutes of that skit, I was like, what in the hell is this?
Norm being Norm.
Because it's such a slow drip. And even the two of them in the booth are listening to it, and they don't even hear the first couple of hints. And it's just like, so it's just, you know, for 10 minutes, it's just a setup of them in the booth recording songs that are just a little tiny bit gay at the beginning and then turn really gay at the end.
Yeah, aggressively so.
A lot of 9-inch cock talk on the last few songs.
And of course, this is around the time where he was doing his most popular talk show guest runs. And he is referred to frequently as the best talk show guest in our generation, at least. And those are also things I didn't clip because a lot of them are long-winded jokes, and they're worth seeing if you haven't. One thing I wanted to mention was something that's getting passed along a lot that is a longer one, but one of my favorites is when he was on the couch when Courtney Thorne Smith from Melrose Place came on, and everyone loves this one. You know, he derails her interview completely, and I love Courtney Thorne Smith.
Yeah, she's doing a movie with Carrot Top. It's basically the only setup that Norm needed.
Yeah,
and the man just decimates
her. Shot all over it for 10 minutes right in front of her. But you know what I love about her is she was totally on board with it. Yeah. And I've seen people in comments wonder, you know, oh, I wonder if she was really as cool as she seemed about that. She definitely was. She showed up as a guest star in one of the last season episodes of The Norm Show, which took place after. Nice. And so I think the two of them were quite happy. And after he passed away, I looked to see if she had said anything, as I was curious about that. And there is stuff you can find. And she talks about how they asked her about that and that experience on Conan, and she had nothing but good things to say. She thought it was hysterical. She didn't mind that he was shitting on her movie with Carrot Top. She knew it was, she basically says, I knew it was a mistake. What? She wasn't embarrassed at all. So she seems like a really cool lady, Courtney Thorne Smith. Not bad looking either.
Conan O'Brien did the most magical job of pushing the right norm button and stepping back, or just letting him go when he was going to do a thing and playing off at the best, giving him room when he was going to spin a yarn and do that big, long, crazy joke. And there's about, I think three or four clips of him starting into, like, he gets two lines into what's about to be a 4 minute joke. Mm-hmm. That's just his typical, this could have been these two lines, but we're going to see what we can do with this. Oh, and Conan knows it immediately and knows to just be the, like, in between sentences, just going, Norm, don't do this. Please, please, please don't do this.
Just a little, like, bit of engagement here and there in the story.
Yeah. And he's like, people don't laugh. No, no, we can't.
Don't encourage.
But he was in, he was still in the whole time. And you knew it was just him playing off the bit. And those two worked so well together that it was crazy to hear Conan. When he released this tribute podcast that I mentioned earlier, I listened to the whole thing. Someone so closely, publicly associated with Norm to talk about how little he knew the man. And that's a bit of an underlying theme I saw through a lot of things. To take this in a little different direction for half a second here is Norm's public persona was very controlled by him. Mm-hmm. But very few people, like we said, only we said nobody knew that he was sick. Somebody knew that he was sick. I'm guessing that it was maybe four or five people.
Yeah.
And I think those four or five people might really have been the only people in the world who actually knew, who could sit down and have a conversation with Norm Macdonald and not Norm Macdonald, the comedian. And I'm fascinated by who that guy could have been because he was so interesting. And I only feel like I saw him poke up in public a couple times. The Letterman finale was one where he got very emotional at the end. Yeah. And I was like, wow, this guy, he's got a tremendous heart and his, like, he, the, you said earlier that Letterman helped him continue on after SNL and kind of threw him a couple bones and got him on the show a lot and gave him the, you know, gave him a platform. Maybe that helped him get a show. Maybe he was helping
later on. He also produced that Netflix show as well.
The Netflix show. I love that Netflix show.
Yeah.
And for Norm to talk about Letterman as though he was like a father figure for him growing up, because Norm's father was not around, is my understanding. It's very hard to find information about.
He was around, I believe, but he wasn't gone. But think he died. He died when I think Norm was on the, not a kid, but younger. So he didn't know his father as an adult. And then, you know, he just wasn't a man that, you know, would be.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem like a very emotional guy, maybe, or he wasn't talking to Norm about, you know, that kind of stuff.
Like Letterman's kind of more, much more in the world than anybody's, any random person's father would be in the world that Norm was in, right?
Like, mm-hmm,
I think there's always people you can look up to and understand it as have a male role model, you know? Like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Jocko Willink. Are you guys familiar with Jocko Willink?
Oh my God. That was very well done.
Thank you very much.
This is Dan's latest man crush. He's a former Army Ranger, Navy SEAL guy who has managed to cash that in with some energy drinks and some children's books.
Hey,
Children's books about a man with an uncle with rippling muscles.
Uncle Jocko is going to come protect me. Jake.
Let
me spot you, kid. Let's work out.
To that point, I mean, you kind of need a mentor, though. You do kind of need a mentor in some things, especially in that world that Norm was. You know, he didn't grow up in that world, but
if you're just using guys you look up to interchangeably with the father figure or not, you know, he turned after a decade of listening to the guy. He did become somebody that more approached someone I'd idolized a little bit, because when I started hearing him talk to Larry King, maybe, or on just obscure interviews I could find, anything I could find about him, I would listen to. And when he got serious, I realized quickly, this is an intelligent guy. He is intentionally hiding how smart he is. He famously almost won. He had the right answer. He almost won $1 million on Wants to Be a Millionaire for Paul Newman's Hole in the Wall Gang. And then Regis scared him out of answering the question. And he ended up walking away with $500,000. He was pissed. But he's a very smart, well-read guy, but he likes to pretend he isn't. So if you get deep enough where you start finding examples of, oh, I see, this is an act. He likes to walk into a room and not be the smart guy. And he gets something out of that. Then you start holding him up to a higher standard. You're like, oh, I know, you know, I know what he's doing. And everything, you suddenly realize everything's intentional. And then opens up a whole new level of appreciation of him.
I think part of that is, and you've heard other comedians talk about him as kind of the crazy uncle. Like, is he doing his crazy uncle thing? Or like, is that actually what he's doing? And for sure, there is something there. Like, that's part of the persona that he puts out there.
Well, those conversations are fascinating to listen to after the fact, especially in the last 9 years when we knew he was sick, because they would openly discuss what's going on with Norm. Like, he's gone for three weeks and then he's back. And, you know, when you pair that up with him looking great and then not looking great and then looking great again and wondering what was going on, they must have been confused as hell. I mean, Adam, I've listened to Adam Carolla go, you know, we were going to do something and then all of a sudden we couldn't do it. And then, you know, he just seems scatterbrained and a little bit like, and I have feelings like that sometimes. We talk about this podcast. You guys are like, well, let's do this. And then one morning I'll wake up and go, nah, I don't want to do this ever again. Yeah. And a week later, I feel different about it. So I could empathize with that if that's what that was, but it might not have been, you know. So in the mid 2000s, I don't want to, you know, it was more difficult to find stuff. I discovered that Norm was calling in randomly to Dennis Miller's radio show that he had in like the mid to 2000s, 2007-ish. There's a compilation of that on YouTube to check, and it's well worth listening to. And there's great stuff on there. He was calling in to Dennis Miller's show during a writer's strike, and he was pulling out old Weekend Update jokes and telling them on Dennis Miller's show in 2007 about Winona Ryder stealing podiums and like completely made zero sense at the time. I tried to find something from that because I really love his time on that show, and it was always hysterical, and the unpredictability of it was crazy. And Dennis Miller multiple times couldn't breathe. He was laughing so hard.
Find a bigger Norm cheerleader than Dennis Miller to this.
Yeah, day. Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of the reason I love Dennis Miller is because of his association with Norm. This particular clip that I found, and I'm really proud that this is the one that I picked out, is an exchange where Dennis tossed him a nugget, wondering what Norm had thought of the recent scandal involving Dog the Bounty Hunter using a racist slur. And here's what Norm had to say.
Now, what do you think about this Dog the Bounty Hunter? Have you been following that at all, Norm?
That guy, I mean, that sounds racist. But like, you gotta remember that even though that is a racist comment, listen, man, we've all known bounty hunters. You know? And they have that thing like cursed like a sailor. Well, that could go for bounty hunters just as well. They just chose sailor. Those guys. I mean, they're not like you or me, you know? If you choose that as your career, you know, you're a bounty hunter. Listen, some salty language is not going to be as...
Salty language.
I love the guys using it in the background.
Longshoreman. No, there's nothing worse than bounty hunting.
You're a genius. All right, we got a couple of minutes left. Anything
Dennis
else
tries
you want
to
lay
it
on the listeners before we leave today?
That was funny, that bounty hunting thing. He's going to get a pass on it, right?
I don't think so, Norm. I think he's in trouble.
Are his bounty hunting days over?
Where did he go from there?
We can't keep you on. I'm sorry, but, you know, you have to... You know, you have a public image of hunting down criminals in their hotel rooms, diving at them in the middle of the night and beating them up. We can't have you saying racist things.
He needs to be a higher bar for bounty hunters.
Oh man, that Dennis Miller, him calling in and them not knowing he was calling in, and then him talking about whatever the hell he wanted, having carte blanche, that there's hours of that, and it is all fucking gold. So that is some of my best. That is not something like maybe the first thing that'll come up if you do a search on him, but it's one of the diamonds in the rough that you should check out. You know, I don't want him to do the injustice to him of not mentioning things, but I feel like I'm just point forming his work. The three of us have all seen him as Pigeon in Mike Tyson Mysteries. That is gold. some of the best stuff you can get online from Norm is also podcast. Mm-hmm. When he did Norm Macdonald Live as a video podcast on YouTube and available on audio, which is difficult to find now, but if you use alternative video platforms, what's one I used recently? Archive.org, actually. There's one that won't offend anyone.
maybe
at least not that I'm aware bank of.
On that shit.
Archive.org.
Do they have a header across the archive is my question.
Yeah Ooh. Maybe disclaimer.
Is there a content warning?
No content warning. You can find a lot of the stuff, but just some of the highlights from that is the Mangrate sponsorship debacle.
I just saw that for the first time today.
Yeah, the Steven Merchant episode. You guys know who Steve Merchant is?
Yeah,
I recognize the name, but
no. One half of the Ricky Gervais Steve Merchant show.
The really tall, thin guy.
Yeah, that's right. He had Steve Merchant on there, and
that guy's terrific.
I think Norm just had this idea after, like, he said something, and then he could see that Steve was uncomfortable. He might offend somebody, so then he just used the entire hour to make Steve Merchant uncomfortable and feel like he had to apologize for what was happening in the episode. And so I call that the Steve Merchant Gauntlet of Apologies episode. That is some good stuff to listen to. I've got a clip from him.
Unfortunately, the radio station launched the day after Princess Diana died. So it was quite, it wasn't quite the sort of fanfare and celebration. Now a bit like when Farrah Fawcett died, and then it was usurped by Michael Jackson.
Somebody told me the Queen murdered her.
Yes, she did. Yeah. Yes, that's well known in England, yeah. To apologize to the Queen.
England's not doing well financially.
Right.
Can't you get you call them your mates? Mm-hmm. They're friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody else in the world, they call them mates.
Sure.
Get a couple of dozen of your mates and go down to that Buckingham Palace and kill the old bag.
To what end?
Money.
Are you an old sea captain? What is this shtick that you... Because I'm pretty sure I've watched some of these other editions of the show, and I'm pleased to see that I've broken from the rule of only having white blokes on the show, which seems to be... You only have white men and Roseanne.
Because it's supposed to be a comedy.
Right.
But,
Jesus. Me a comedy.
So Netflix, I heard this and I couldn't track it down a second time, so with a grain of salt you should take this one, but I had heard the reason why this show isn't available anymore on regular channels is because Netflix insisted it be pulled before their show got on. So a lot of the structure of the show, which includes them reading jokes at the end, which Craig challenged us to do to each other at the end of this episode, a lot of the structure of that was
the same,
but it included a lot of gems that I don't think Netflix was keen on having out in the wild, like this one.
Last night, I got into a bit of a Twitter war
with
my followers. Followers, it ends up they all fucking hate your guts. But I maintain, I watched this Liberace movie.
Okay.
And he's making out, you know, it's, you know, plays him? Michael Douglas.
Yes.
First of all, has pussy cancer in his throat. He's making out with Matt Damon.
See,
which
I think cancer's a small price to pay to lick Catherine Zeta-Jones pussy.
Jesus.
God bless Gilbert Gottfried.
You would take that chance?
Yeah. I would suck her tits for lupus.
For the chance.
Yeah, chance. I would eat out her asshole for muscular dystrophy.
It sounds like it's a charity challenge at that point.
For the chance. Yes, for the chance.
Oh, God. So, yeah, that had to be swept under the rug. That was just after Gilbert got fired from Affleck.
Well, I bet it
How
was.
How is it that we have all these great ideas out in the world and we settle on the ice bucket challenge?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Man, he was the voice of Iago from Aladdin. You guys remember that? The parrot.
Yeah, I want somebody making those dub jokes. That over the bird's voice now.
Yeah.
to give Netflix credit though, they have been kind of the boon of comedy, stand-up comedy at least, I'll say, for the last 3 or 4 years with just they crank specials out like we've never seen in our lifetime.
And, well, they're well
it's given a lot of people a chance to put out material and Norm had one on there as well. That yep, Hitler's Dog is a Netflix funded special, is it not? So
yep.
Good for them. They've done a lot of good things in stand-up comedy. And as three guys who, I mean, we like to get on here and goof around and pretend we're stand-up comedians and say a lot of things that, let's face it, if we were in the office, are not going to leave our lips because we're just having fun. We appreciate the art of comedy as extreme amateur comedians. And a guy like Norm, to do the material that he did in the way that he did, was one of the guys on the forefront of fighting the good fight for comedy in a world that is seemingly fighting against it, where you're only allowed to tell jokes that everybody will think is funny.
Yeah.
And that's just not possible. So I love that Norm was a guy who embraced, here's my joke. I know that these group of people are not going to find this funny, so I'm going to make sure they find it the most not funny. And yeah. Everybody else gets to enjoy it.
And I really like watching him with Larry King because I think there's a famous Larry King moment where Larry King forgets that Seinfeld was the most popular sitcom of all time.
I love this. I've seen
you remember that?
And with Seinfeld, he asked him if he was canceled, right?
But yeah, exactly. And the more I watch Larry King, the more I find those moments in there, but nobody takes advantage of them in the way that Jerry did. Jerry seems like a very... I love Seinfeld, but Jerry seems like a very like easy to piss off guy,
yeah.
Which I find hysterical for a guy that's richer than hell. I don't think I'd be pissed off at all. But anyway, so Seinfeld just roasted him for not knowing that. That's but amazing. Norm plays with Larry King in a different way with the same knowledge that I think Seinfeld has about Larry King, that he's got this mm-hmm. sort of, I don't want to say, maybe it's just sort of a certain naive disposition about a lot of things. I've got a Norm Macdonald Larry King moment that I love. He's used this on other people before, but I love the Larry King reaction to it the best.
What's something people don't know about you?
I'm a deeply closeted gay guy.
No kidding.
Well, I'm not coming out though.
Wait a minute. What are you revealing here today?
I'm not revealing anything. I'm saying I'm deeply closeted.
Well, that means you're gay.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Why would I say that? I'm deeply closeted.
No, but that means you're very, very gay, but you don't want to come out. You're so closeted.
That I refuse to say I'm gay.
Right.
Exactly.
But that doesn't that mean you're gay?
Hey, easy, buddy.
Larry's not getting the word joke.
Yeah, finally, when he went easy, buddy, you could see Larry's face completely change and go, "Oh,
I got played." Yeah.
Like it was mental to watch.
And let's face it, this is Larry King. I'll say within the last decade, not at his sharpest.
No,
you know what's interesting about Larry King is okay. Of all the influences and people that I pay attention to, one of them who happens to be a classical liberal feels very strongly about... These guys know who it is. Yeah.
I only know one.
It doesn't matter who it is.
You never forget the classics.
This one guy holds Larry King in the highest of esteem. like the best interviewer ever. And on the other end of the spectrum, to the one of the other guys that I really hold in the highest being Drew Lane, who's a radio host out of Detroit, who hosts Drew and Mike podcast. Now they constantly shit on Larry King as being out to lunch, doesn't fucking know what's happening half the time, doesn't prepare for interviews, and they just shit all over him constantly. And I mean, Larry King's.
I was going to say, those might be the same guy.
Yeah.
I think he was around forever.
Yeah. People give Howard Stern credit for being a great interviewer, too, but he's I can't understand. Yeah. For half the time, I wanted to shut up and let the guy finish. But
yes.
But there's another moment in that Larry King interview where Norm is talking about death, which is topical. And he says that, you know, somebody famous, and I wish I remembered who it was, said that he saw a picture of himself before he was born with his older brother and his family, and he felt fear.
I'm already confused.
He saw a picture of himself.
No. This is a quote from, they were talking about this topic of death. Okay. And Norm was quoting someone as saying how this individual saw a photo of himself prior to his birth with his family and his older brother, and he didn't feel fear, even though he didn't exist in that photo. And a realization that after dying, that the situation would be the same, you know? And it was a profound sort of realization that, you know, I'm not going to be aware of the fact that I'm not here, right?
That's the Ricky Gervais approach to death is
right. People, and that's fine.
He's a famous atheist. Let me just explain it quickly. His take on it is people say, well, you're an atheist. What do you think happens when you die? He says, well, remember all that time before you were born? It's right. Like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's self-explanatory. But Larry King's face, he goes, but I didn't know I was, like, he started arguing. And he said, I didn't know because I wasn't there. Like, I didn't, and then Norm's like, yeah, you won't be there later
exactly.
either.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, like, and he couldn't understand it. But what's funny about it is Larry King is the atheist in the conversation, not funny. Norm. So Norm is giving him what he needs to not be afraid of death. And as the atheist, he still doesn't understand it. It was just a fascinating moment. It was like moment 15 where Larry King just sort of like suddenly realized he didn't know where he was.
Lost the luster. Yeah.
I know. I put this in here specifically for you, Craig. A clip from Norm Macdonald hosting the ESPYs.
The most amazing sports joke ever told.
Charles Woodson. How about that? And what a season he had. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case... all bets are off.
So amazing.
Cut to the face of Ken Griffey Jr. having an aneurysm.
He cannot believe. And Ty, you and I talked about this. This was Norm... Norm was laying down new tracks here when he hosted the ESPYs and started roasting the room, because it was always just a bit more Academy Award-y, taking itself too seriously, and Norm came in and just put some people in their proper places, and there was some outrage after. People were like, I can't believe that this happened. Even like you mentioned, the crowd shot of the reaction to that joke, it was. Audibly, it was laughter. Visually, it was 30% laughter.
Yeah. It really is hysterical to watch because the reaction is just as funny as the joke. Like, ladies,
and now the ESPYs are Norm's version of it.
Yeah, that's great.
The appreciation of what he brought to it. But it's funny to see those people on ground zero when it's happening and those new tracks are being laid and they don't know what to do and they're uncomfortable because they're still in that I take myself very serious method. He went in there and he tore those people apart and I loved it.
Yeah, Daniel.
You know, I think there was something, I don't know, one of you guys shared it in the thread there, but it was Norm at an award show and it was like the final moments of an award show. I think you guys shared this.
The Canadian one?
Might have been. I can't remember what the context was or where it was, but what he did was he invited an Indigenous fellow out on stage to express his, you know, thoughts on the award ceremony taking place on Indigenous lands and all that stuff. And to the guy's credit, I have no idea if the guy was legit or not, but he did it in a very straight face.
He killed
and
it. Yeah.
He delivered his, he was in a headdress and everything. And he went out and he said, basically the gist was, you fuckers are doing this on, you know, my ancestors' lands. I hope you're happy with that.
He dressed everybody down. Yeah.
And everybody, there was like a initial laughter, and then it was like, oh wait, what's happening? And then awkward laughter. And then like, wait, fuck, is Norman this dude serious? What's going on right now?
Yeah, Norm deadpanned it too, man. He didn't change his facial expression.
Yeah,
it was amazing. And I hadn't seen that one prior to and that's a really hard one to watch. If you don't like cringy shit, good luck. Yep. That one is balls to the wall cringy.
That's a room full of elite people.
You're saying you just discovered that since his passing?
That's recent. I feel like I might have started to watch that a long time ago and went, I'm out. Because it was just too... Yeah.
Do you know if that is... Was he legit giving this guy his platform? Or was this a Norm Macdonald?
That was a bit. 100%.
Okay,
100%. I would bet my life on that.
Because this is what it I could love be both. Norm. Sorry, Dan. Go. It could be both. That's true.
It could be both.
It could have been. You're right. In the way that it could have been Norm. I don't think in Norm's mind it was anything other than a bit. But I think that Norm might have let the guy involved in it think it wasn't. But I'm pretty sure that wasn't the case either. So
it's one of those things though, where a bit like that only works if there's truth in it. Otherwise, people don't give a fuck.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Nobody in that room would have been uncomfortable if the guy wasn't speaking truth.
We know Norm loves an uncomfortable audience. There's no question about that. And that, I mean, the most uncomfortable audience I may have ever seen. This is a number two, maybe when he roasted Saget. And I don't want to go. I've got a roast clip for Bob Saget. And then I've got a clip because I wanted to mention his sports show that got canceled too soon. Another casualty by Comedy Central. They cancel everything that does well over there.
They're not interested in ratings.
These are the two clips that I want to end on. And then we'll do Craig's last minute addition to the podcast, which was a brilliant idea in hindsight. We're going to read each other's jokes, cold read each other's jokes, which is a Norm Macdonald end of show bit. So I love that. It's a great way to send him off, whether the jokes are good or not good. And I suspect they won't be. So let's hear.
I'm going to propose we do this at the end of every episode.
Norm jokes. Norm jokes? Wow. All right. Here's Norm in his infamous roast of Bob Saget that confused the hell out of everyone who was there.
But now we come to Bob Saget. And that's why we're all here. Bob. Bob, you have a lot of well-wishers here tonight, and a lot of them would like to throw you down one. A well. Jesus. They want to murder you in a well.
It's so bad.
Seems a little harsh, but apparently they want to murder you in a well. It says here on this card. No, but Bob has a beautiful face like a flower. Yeah, cauliflower. No offense, but your face looks like a cauliflower.
No offense.
The look of confusion on everyone's face when he did that, and apparently the long cut of that does not exist where anyone can get it, because I was listening to comedians talk about that whole experience. And they insist it went on twice as long as what it got cut down to.
Yeah.
Where he just read joke book jokes
from the
1940s. To everyone in the room. Yeah. And the audience like laughed at first. Then they, the same thing. Then it was awkward. Then he said that when he was doing it, all he could see in the audience was Alan Thicke's angry face.
The context for it is incredible too. So Saget gets Saget's getting roasted. Saget at the time is in the middle of the Aristocrats era of his comedy. He's not Full House Bob Saget. He's shit and piss and pussies and cocks Bob Saget. He's just the dirtiest.
His pussies and cock Bob Saget.
No, that's
the dirtiest. That's the dirtiest, bluest comic in the world, I think, at that point, right? Like, he rounded everybody up to make a one-hour movie of people telling the dirtiest joke over and over again, the same joke in their own way. That's a movie that Bob Saget made at this time, right? So, but Bob Saget is his very good friend, one of the few, it seems, very, very good close friends that he has. Bob calls him and says, hey, you're going to come to the roast. And he's like, well, I don't really want to say mean things about you. But, and again, this is kind of Norm the human being exposed, you know, for one of the rare times.
For sure.
I don't really want to do that. He's like, I'm just going to read a bunch of old jokes out of a joke book. And he told Saget ahead of time. Saget said this in his tribute podcast, where it was him just kind of letting his feelings out as a guy who, again, was very close with him. And so Norm, as he does, commits to this in a way that nobody else could ever pull off. Mm. And he walks up and he does however many minutes of that. I watched this when it aired initially. And it was like watching, it's like an 80s movie where someone's trying to do something. Say they're like, and you just kind of spot that something's about to happen. And they realize, you're like, oh my God, he's going for it. That guy's going to try to do that thing. And the crowd starts to, gather around, and everybody's like, oh, wait a minute. Something's happening here. The development of the moment, like, oh, like he's going to try, that guy's trying to run a 4-minute mile. I don't know. I'm struggling to come up with an analogy.
I get you.
Let's see what's happening here. And he stopped after every one of those jokes and looked at that crowd until they reacted
right in
with
the
with a fuck you, what are you going to do about it? Like, I'm doing it.
I didn't even scratch the surface. You better sit down and buckle up, because this is going on for 20 minutes.
If you think that one was nothing,
buckle up. It was nothing.
And all of the comics caught on way before the audience did, with like one or two exceptions.
Yeah.
And
Cloris Beachman, she's a bit over the hill. She'll never be over the hill, not in the car she drives.
And to go to a roast, like, if you Google roasts, I've watched hundreds of hours of roasts. I don't think I'm exaggerating. I love them. And I've watched a lot of old roasts. I'm talking like Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. age roasts, where they weren't really bad. They were more 1950s comic book, joke book jokes. And then it kind of gets to, who's the comic I'm thinking of? The black comic. I'm drawing a total blank.
Pryor?
Patrice?
Pryor. Jesus Christ. Richard Pryor takes it in a very blue direction, and roasts develop into this just nastiness.
Vicious.
Intentionally vicious. Yep. And for Norm to just come and pull it back completely in the era of blue for the bluest comic. Yep. And to come out and do what he did was the ballsiest thing I've ever seen a comic do. I loved it when I watched it, and I couldn't believe how many people didn't get it. And that's, like, to me, Norm in a nutshell.
Right on, man. Before we lead into our own jokes, sports show with Norm Macdonald is available on YouTube in its entirety to see. I am not a sports guy. I found this show hysterical every single time. That's the brilliance of it. I can't believe, when I heard he was doing a sports show, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to watch it. It's Norm Macdonald, but I hope, you know, it's not too inside baseball. Everything was hysterical. He made it accessible to everybody. I can't believe the Comedy Central canceled this fucking show. I thought it was amazing. And here's an unedited opener to one of my favorite episodes.
An injured Tiger Woods withdrawing from the Player Championship on Thursday after only nine holes. Nine holes, or as Tiger calls it, three ladies.
Then into another one, watch this.
Top story tonight, the NBA is rescheduling Chicago's playoff games around Oprah Winfrey's farewell show. Apparently, the Bulls are taking orders from the cows.
Jesus.
I mean, it's career suicide to call Oprah absolutely. A cow on television.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the guy is amazing. Anyway, we're going to move it on to today's closing segment, which is a Craig LaPorte original idea that he stole from Norm Macdonald.
That's the same.
I think the stealing part's original.
Yeah, no. Craig has tasked us each to write two jokes for each other to read, which is how Norm Macdonald Live and Norm Macdonald Has a Show would end. He would hand jokes to his guests to cold read. 9 times out of 10, disastrous results.
he would deliver this like 20 minutes into an interview and be like, and now it's time for some comic relief.
You could tell the show. You could tell every single guest had no idea it was coming too.
Yes.
He that was when they got the news that they'd be cold reading jokes was while the show was being recorded. Every single time. And they're like, oh, even Letterman, who produced the show, he goes, did every guest do this? And I was like, yeah. You know, Letterman's like, I don't want to read a joke I didn't, you know, pre-screen, but he did. Anyway, who wants to go first?
I can put one in the chat.
All right. Who's it for, Dan?
Yeah, Ty, I guess this one's for you. I won't look. Okay. Craig, you also don't look. Okay.
No, I'm not going to look. I'm moving the window off of the screen so I can't see it.
All right. It's time for jokes. Whoever came up with the saying, paint the town red, probably didn't have much experience in painting. That's a solid attempt. That follows That's a Then tried to give it something.
All right. So that was Dan for Ty.
All right, Dan. Can I send one to Dan?
Ty for Dan.
Vogue magazine has just published a self-reflective top 10 Vogue covers of all time list in their recent September issue. Topping the list is February 1984 cover feature. You guessed it, Frank Stallone. I think that's a Norm specialty.
That's a Norm punchline that he used about 300 times on Weekend. You guessed it, Frank Stallone. And then they show Frank Stallone's face on screen.
Yeah.
And apparently, Frank the more popular Stallone was not too happy about it.
So I think we've already done this wrong because you two just read one for each other. So
we did,
gotta,
yeah.
Well, let's now just, we got to get me into Craig the circle
one. Yep.
I've got one for Craig because I've got a couple extras here.
Okay,
fine. Oh, you got extra ones.
Craig, you're ready?
I'm intrigued. I am ready for this.
There it is.
That Jeff Bezos is something, isn't he? Just put a rocket in orbit a couple of weeks ago. Quite a rocket. Quite a rocket. Well, at least he didn't make it look like a giant dick.
These are bombing exactly the same way.
This is wonderful. Okay, I've got one for Ty.
Fashion icon Donatella Versace was quoted in a new interview with UK newspaper The Times, saying that sexy is not vulgar, sexy is powerful. A phrase she believes in so wholeheartedly, she got it tattooed on her asshole.
It was very sexy.
I'm sorry I botched that one. I'm going to tell a quick...
Versace joke?
Virgin, no. On Norm's first podcast, Super Dave was a guest, and he told a joke. Actually, no, he told this joke with Norm on a radio show where Norm's brother Neil had called in, and they were telling jokes on the radio, and it must have been satellite radio because some of them were crazy. But he goes, it was a joke about B.B. King, and he said B.B. King's wife, B.B. King's birthday was coming up, and his wife went into a tattoo parlor. She goes, I want to get something special for B.B. She goes, can you tattoo a B on each cheek of my ass? And he goes, yeah, sure. So she gets the tattoo, and it's a birthday night, and she surprises him, and she drops her pants. She goes, look at what I got you. And he goes, Who's Bob?
I knew it a mile away.
Oh my god.
When Super Dave said it, for no reason at all, Norm just goes, that's racist. Just to give him a hard time.
Hey, Dan, you got a few, drop another one.
All right. So I think Craiger, this one's probably for you.
I don't know how to say that guy's name. Hi, you know that I heard the Chinese dictator
Xi Jinping
studied magic under David Copperfield to learn how to make things disappear. Maybe he can try to make his coronavirus disappear.
Wow.
Hey-o.
Oh, my God.
Dan.
No.
All right, I was trying to do the typical bit response. Who writes these?
I don't know. No, just,
Craig, do you want mine?
Matter.
Yeah, sure. Throw it on every time. Madonna is in the news due to a recent controversy relating to an Instagram post. The post is a photo of what is claimed to be Madonna posing with her adopted son, David Banda at his 16th birthday party. In the photo, Madonna's face appears startlingly different than in other recent appearances by the pop superstar. Experts are saying this is due to some recent and routine plastic surgery for the 63-year-old. However, some fans claim the photo is of an imposter. Additional skepticism surrounded the photo when an eagle-eyed fan noticed that Madonna was not being fucked by two NFL players simultaneously. All right, Dan.
I've got two left. I'm going to go first one for... are there any others that we need to clear out?
No.
I have one more for you, Dan, but you go ahead first. Because
okay, so I'll do one for Ty. You could do... and then we'll... then because I got
I'll
another
do
one
you.
That I'll do for you.
You say it. Say it.
You do me. Okay,
you do Ty,
this is for
you. I'll do
you.
You know, some people say that internet dating is for people that can't be accepted by society at large. Is that the joke?
That's the joke.
Some people say it.
It's more of a statement.
There you go.
Wow. Much different approaches here, and I'm happy with it.
What I like is that there are jokes that were just like this on Norm Macdonald Live, and they
that's what
the
I was
same thing
for.
Happened. No, you did great.
The premise is the joke.
You know.
Yeah, I'm gonna I'm bouncing one back to Dan.
Here we go. Elton John and husband David Furnish are rumored to be having marital problems. Apparently, David has been stepping out on to the club solo so frequently that Elton has grown suspicious of an affair. When asked why he felt this way, Elton said he keeps coming home shit-faced.
Is any part of that joke stolen?
None of it.
That is good. Shit. Oh my god,
that's pretty strong. That's pretty strong. All right, I got one left. I actually have two left, but one of them is the same format as the other one. It's like
I'll do
so
one.
Fuck that. All right, Craiger, this one's for you.
Whew.
There you go.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about the mainstream media being narrative driven lately. You mean you've been hearing about this? I mean, I'm okay with them following a narrative. I just wish they'd stop getting their writers from the CW network.
Oh my god.
There you go. Best I got.
It's the best I got.
Oh, know your audience, though. That's a good... I'm not going to... I liked the joke.
I mean, CW's come up here before a couple times.
They have. It's my biggest worry about the new Matrix movie. There was a scene where Trinity goes, oh, and she screams, and they've got this weird bad CW effect on there where I was like, oh, this might suck.
I turned on Supergirl yesterday night. It was on the DVR, and I hit the button, and it opened with Supergirl. They're all in a room together, and they have to paint on the special effects after. And so she's got this thing in her hand that she's supposed to be fighting against, and she's trying to pull it and keep it in the room. And so she's basically just got her hands in the room and wiggling around. And they paint, I mean, the favor they do her in post is they paint a little light in her hand. So it looks ridiculous. And that's the CW in a nutshell in the last, you know. Every time I turn it on, some painted special effect is fighting with somebody who's just kicking the air.
Yeah. So you turned on Supergirl.
Yeah.
Did Supergirl turn you on?
She's not a bad looking lady. Let's, you know. But I cannot watch the show. So.
Dan's got one more to tie. Let's finish it up.
Oh, it's not good. And it's kind of, you've already heard the joke, but I'll do it.
That's better.
I'll do it. Hang on. All right.
Who did you write these?
What?
That's the bit on this. Someone always asks them, did you write these?
Whoever coined the phrase one for the money probably didn't know much about economics.
I like the double dip.
That's the painting joke. All over
again.
That's
exactly the painting joke.
That's why I said I didn't want to... Yeah.
No.
Whoever coined the phrase, don't copy your jokes, didn't hear Dan's jokes.
I didn't plan on contributing that one, too. That was just...
No.
Anyhow.
Look, I'm very happy with how that went.
It's an interesting segment.
Listen, lot of love for Norm Macdonald here. He's a huge loss. I'm not going to get emotional, but I'm going to say this. Over the course of the last 20 some odd years of my life, there's been plenty of, like everybody, hard things that happened. You know, you move away from family, My mother passed away, difficulties with children, you know, stuff like that. And because of this man, I never went to sleep upset. And that's helped me a lot. And we'll miss you, Norm.
With all your wealth and your success, this is serious from the heart, you know? You got to remember, this is a saying I made up. Mm-hmm. there are a lot of ships that are very valuable, right? Like, you probably think a golden ship was valuable, right?
This is already a terrible saying. This is...
No, a solid gold ship.
Yes, okay. There are a lot of ships out there.
You would think a solid gold ship would be very valuable. Uh-huh. Or a solid platinum ship.
Yes.
A ship made only of diamonds. I don't know if it would float. I don't know. But, you know, you would think that would be your most valuable ship. But you know what, sir? It is not. You know what your most valuable ship is?
What is that?
Friendship.